It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 533. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow, and also MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource. Check that out. I have another jam-packed show. I have a couple quick things I want to talk about before I get to email. The majority of the show is going to be email, and I got a large stack that I'm going to cover. But I have two tips right now that I'm going to share, and one: if you have a client that is not paying you and you've installed some hardware or some services, some software, I learned this from a sales coach today, an incredible tip on a way to get paid. Call your client and say, I want to schedule, pull up your calendar, and I'd like to schedule a day for me to come out and remove the router. I want to come out and uninstall all the antivirus software and the remote support software that I installed on your system. Or I want to remove that external drive. If it's equipment inside a computer, be specific. Tell them, when can I come out and take the equipment back? I bet you are going to get a check. What an incredible way to try to get payments. You're going to lose the client anyway, maybe, but you want to get paid. I still have three clients out there that owe me money, and you want to know something? One of them I've wrote off totally. I know I'm not going to get it no matter what I say because I don't have a service I can remove. But the other two, there are things I can remove. I'm going to be calling a client tomorrow morning, and I'm going to ask, when can we schedule their company outage so I can remove the router? And then they'll be down. I guarantee you I am going to get some form of payment. Keep that in the back of your mind. Share that. I think that's a great tip. It's harsh, but it drives the point home that you provided a service and now you need to be paid. That's tip one. Tip two happened live as we were recording, as I'm recording the show tonight. This is a second start, a little reboot as I am recording the show. My son, Michael Jr., is at an emergency right now. It's a travel agent that has two systems. One is infected with the PC Optimizer. It's actually called Super Optimizer. And it boots automatically when the Windows screen comes up. It goes right into Super Optimizer. And that takes over the computer where you can't do anything. You can click the X on the screen of Super Optimizer and it closes, but now you have no icons. The Windows key doesn't work, everything. So my son was on the phone with me. We had two things. One, go forward and try to get that advanced options menu when you hit F8. You really need to get in there. And he couldn't do that. He kept trying to hit F8. I said, be a little more persistent and reboot. I said, then the next one is, if he can't get in, he's going to have to bring the computer to me because we're going to have to boot with some kind of distribution that will bypass the local hard drive and we can clean the system. Or I take the drive out, hook it external to a system and clean it that way. But he'd have to bring the system to me. Now, he's armed with a USB stick with all the major utilities that we've always talked about here. I said, once he hit F8 and he got the menu, I said, do you see one that says boot to command prompt? Boot to command prompt. I think it's safe mode with command prompt. He gets to the command prompt. The USB stick's plugged in, and I had him keep typing letters, D colon, E colon, and then do a directory. Until he got to the drive, it was H colon, finally got to the drive letter that was the USB stick. I said, type combofix.exe. Once he hit the he did a DIR, he knew he was on the USB stick. I said, run combofix. Combofix started running. I said, okay, we're going to be home free. Now, hopefully, I don't know. I could be interrupted again along the way here because now combofix has to do his thing, but he's armed. The laptop that was running slow, he ran rkill. Rkill killed whatever was running, and then he could run combofix. After combofix, now he's going to run the gambit of everything. TDSS killer, JRT, adware cleaner, super anti-spyware, malware bytes, of course, and then CCleaner at the end. That should do it. Now, the one system that had super optimizer infected on it, I did text him that he may have unusual, if icons are missing and everything's messed up, even with the removal of the infection, then he's going to need to run tweaking.com's all-in-one repair tool, and he doesn't have that on his USB stick. So I said, you're going to go to the other computer that's working good and download that, put it on the USB stick, take it over to the other computer, run that, and let it fix everything. And he's run that before, but I forgot to put that on the USB stick that I armed him with tonight. First email is from Microsoft, and they're a few days late on notifying me that they have a new Outlook app for the iPhone and the Android platform. I want to thank Mark, who emailed me earlier in the week and said, Mike, are you using the Outlook app? He's using it. He loves it. I didn't even realize it was out. I immediately on my iPhone went to the App Store, downloaded the Outlook app, set it up for all my email clients. I love, love, love it. But there's one negative. If you want to print an email, forget about it. There's no print option whatsoever in the app. This is exactly what happened with Microsoft when they released the Office suite for the iPad. That was the big thing. They couldn't print in the beginning. So there must be some kind of thing on the initial programming that they get it out the door and there's a couple things that they have to release it with, you know, without that printing. And I guess the way it integrates to the send and print within the device, I'm hoping that the next version will come with the print option, and I'm sure it will, because I think it took like a month or so, and they came out with an update to the Office suite, and they were able to print. So I was really glad when that happened. Microsoft is doing an incredible job, and they need kudos. We're going to talk about the Surface Pro 3 and some issues with some email here tonight, and you know I love that. I like OneDrive. I like what they're doing with the Office suite. I like Office 365. There's a lot of positive things. And if you've been looking at the news, some of the announcements, some of the future things they're working on, Microsoft's really making a turn. I'm glad to see this and some really enterprising things happening with Microsoft. And maybe they're finally listening to everybody. Maybe they have a CEO now at the top that's, you know, making the right decisions now. So I'm really glad to see that. This is a tweet from Kate, and I have not had a chance to test it out, and I'm going to have a link to it. Major update to auto runs. I need to check that out. This is from Andrew. And it's about episode 529, Adobe Preview, a tip applicable to LibreOffice. This is good. Mike, thanks for all your hard work and time you put into providing a great show. I have been listening for about a year now and figured I would contribute a solution to a LibreOffice problem that your show provided me after being eluding me for over a year now. We have a Server 2008 domain with about 200 Windows 7 Pro workstations across 35 different sites. On these workstations, only about 20 managers are licensed for Microsoft Office, and the rest of the client workstations use Outlook Web Access and LibreOffice to reduce licensing expenses. I like that. That's good. Glad to see that integrating in the corporate world. This works smooth for the most part, but fairly often we would have users calling IT because they were getting access denied errors in LibreOffice when trying to save changes to a document in their user folders. The only workaround we could find was to save as and select the file name, which would then allow the document to save without an error. Now the users obviously have permissions to write to the user folders, so that was not the problem. We tried updating to the newer LibreOffice versions, among other failed attempts at getting into the bottom of this. And we have been just plain scratching our heads over this for some time now. While this wasn't a mission-critical problem, it was an inconvenience that should have been addressed a long time ago. Long story short, I was catching up on your podcast and listening to episode 529 yesterday, and a light went off in my head when you mentioned Adobe Reader, actually Adobe Acrobat, having problems because of the show preview handler's folder option. Literally, the next morning, this morning actually, I walked in the office and one of the other network admins had a user on the phone with the aforementioned LibreOffice problem. Upon further inspection, I noticed in a Windows Explorer window that the file he was working on was highlighted from when the user had double-clicked to open the document. I told him to try and disable the show preview handler's folder option, and voila. Sure enough, the LibreOffice saving problem was resolved, and my coworker was baffled that I had a solution after just walking in the door. Added this user preference to our Windows 7 GPO, and the problem is solved across the board. These priceless little tidbits that resolve a year-old problem for 180 users are just one of the things that makes your show so great. Forgive me if this was already mentioned and I missed it. Hope this may be helpful to someone else out there. Thanks, Mike. And this is Andrew. This is great. I love hearing stories like this. That one little tip that I mentioned can make such an impact into solving a problem. That's what this is about. That's what this show is about. The tips and tricks that you carry forth, whether you're a consultant, whether you're just a work in a company, and you're able to implement some of these fixes and tips, that's great. And Andrew, thanks for taking the time and sharing that. This is a trilogy of emails from Terry in Arizona, and I'm going to get to the final part three. Terry was trying to do a Windows 8 reinstall, and a few shows ago, we have a link out there for you to be able to download directly from Microsoft the Windows 8.1 reinstall media. And when you use that, it will fix your issue. And you're not going to have a problem. So he was going crazy, just trying everything. So we're going to cut to the chase to the final email here. And he says, Mike, to my surprise, I was able to download the Windows 8.1 ISO from Microsoft and then install Windows 8.1 on a Dell laptop without any activation problem. The install went without a hitch. The install process did not ask me for a Windows 8 product key, and Windows was automatically activated. Now, after I finish setting up the laptop, I will create a system image on one of my external drives. Thanks for the great show. It is a tremendous resource for all of us. Terry, thank you. And I've posted this link in the show notes of a couple shows ago. I am going to post it in there again. This is windows.microsoft.com/en-us/windows-8/create-reset-refresh-media, all separated by dashes. That link's going to be in the show notes. Very important. Bookmark it. Save it. Make that image and have it on hand. There has been no opportunities for me to reinstall Windows 8. Haven't had to. Now, I've had a downgrade of Windows 8.1 to Windows 7 and had to make a couple changes in the BIOS and everything just to be able to downgrade, but I have not had to re-image a Windows 8 system yet. And now, after all the different difficulties that I have been sharing and I've been reading about, we finally have a great solution that should be your first go-to for the media, and that is this ISO that you can download directly from Microsoft. I highly recommend also making a bootable USB stick so you can boot from the USB drive and also be able to re-image a system when you don't have a media drive. You know, I'm running into a lot of systems now that don't have CDs or DVD players, and we're seeing that more and more, so we got to be armed with bootable USB sticks that can image systems. This is from David, VoIP providers. Mike, just wanted to send my suggestions for VoIP providers. We recently put in a ShoreTel system replacing an old 3Com system. The ShoreTel system was the most feature-rich and very much set it and forget it. This is a system that I would say internal support person would be able to adequately manage with little issues. There are a number of mobile functions, smartphones, add-ons that I love also. I can also use my smartphone as a cordless phone that I can make calls and receive calls and instant message as if I'm at my desk phone. I love the soft phone software also. They have a cloud-based system and that is very easy to set up, and it's small environment that you don't want a lot of extra hardware. Let me know if you need more recommendations. Their motto is brilliantly simple. I like that. Thank you very much, David, for your email. This is from Michael. Windows limits services and processes dependent on user. Hi, Mike. I have been a listener of your show ever since you started and have enjoyed every one of them. I have a question on restricting services and processes from starting dependent on who logs onto the computer. Overview of users with Windows 7 Pro. I'm their family tech guy. When mom uses the computer, she only wants to check her email and do research for their upcoming holidays. Dad doesn't get onto the internet and only plays simplistic local games, which require no internet connectivity. Son synchronizes his devices using iTunes, surfs the net, and connects his phones via Bluetooth and updates GPS unit, etc. Each of them has their own login and profiles, giving them access to their programs. As Dad only uses the computer locally, turning the modem off prior to starting, can I restrict the auto-starting of the Bluetooth service process, Malwarebytes service process, and antivirus program services, as well as the related iTunes service processes and whatever other service processes he doesn't need? That's interesting, because they're building services to the system. They're not user-based, so it's going to be difficult. For Mom, who does get on the net, I'd like to stop the iTunes-related service processes, Bluetooth services, and whatever other services processes she doesn't need. And Son gets the full gamut of service processes he needs. Any suggestions? Gratefully received. Cheers. And this is from Mick. Mick, I don't know of a way to just suppress certain services from starting based on a user profile. There is one program that I know you can change the network settings based on where you're at. I'm asking for your suggestions on how we can adjust system services and processes based on a profile. That's the only thing I can think of here, and I don't know if there's a way to do this, Mick, the way you want to. You may just have to live with some services starting, and or just, you don't need iTunes to start up automatically. You don't need Bluetooth to start up automatically. So these are things you can disable on the startup for everyone, and then when Sun needs to get iTunes, he can run it. You don't need some of these services to automatically run. Think about disabling them for everybody, and then they just use the program or service as it's needed, so you don't have it start automatically. That's where I think I would begin first. This email is from Bradley, and he asked the following. Do you still trust Untrekkie and Crypto Prevent? Thanks. And I replied back, Untrekkie, I've pulled from my automatic install. I do not install Untrekkie all over because I did have some issues. Now, I got to admit, when I traced back some of the problems, they were not Untrekkie. I don't like the fact of how much it modifies the host file. I'm kind of on the fence on Untrekkie, but I absolutely believe in Crypto Prevent. I, at minimum, install the free version, and I encourage everybody I talk to pay the $15 to get the premium version so it's automatically updated. So that's my feelings on Untrekkie and Crypto Prevent. Bradley, thank you for the email. This email is from Steven. Thanks and a question. Hi, Mike. Thanks for the great show. I've learned a lot and realized how much more there is to learn from listening to your show. I have a question for you and your listeners. I work at a small consulting engineering company with about a dozen employees and 18 computers. I've been the default IT guy in addition to my regular work, which means when things go wrong, I have to find a way to take care of it, spending a minimum amount of time and a lot of Googling. We are getting more laptops to work remotely, so the number of computers is increasing, and I'm finding myself with more to do and to take care of them. I'd like to be a little more proactive. I had a user's hard drive go down, and it was giving him hard drive alerts for a few days, but he was too busy to tell me, and just when he finished his rush job, the computer wouldn't boot up. I'd like to find some software that would monitor each computer and let me know about disk errors, usage, memory, or Windows issues, etc., and alert me so I can be prepared to step in before things go bad. This is great. This is a great question, and I would like everybody to weigh in on what's your favorite monitoring tools for hardware that would basically phone home, and I know there's a lot out there. I tried Spiceworks, And it was really easy to install and set up, but I have one issue that's keeping me from deploying it. We don't have a domain. And from what I can tell, I can't get the workstation's WMI data without disabling user account control on the workstation. With UAC, no inventory data is read. And when I disable it, it works. Microsoft discussed this in their knowledge base, but wasn't specific about all the details. I'm not sure disabling UAC on every computer is the way to go. I tried CA Technologies Snap, and it has the same issue. I like the alerts and detailed information, and something like Spiceworks can provide. I have been in your situation where certain software has required you to disable UAC. And I've had to do that with one of my larger clients. I don't like it, but I have no choice. And then I have another client that I had to disable it for vertical market specific software that they have to run. Part of the instructions is disabling UAC. I would disable it, but put in enough protection so we don't have to worry. Make sure you got antivirus, malware bytes, all the things we talk about in protecting your computer, then you're okay with disabling the UAC. Do you or your listeners have any software recommendations? I'd need something that would install an agent on each computer to get past the issues I'm having. I'm using Soluto now, but it's a little basic and doesn't give me everything I need. I'm trying to minimize my time on these issues and get back to my chargeable work. I brought up the idea of managed IT services, but management doesn't think we are ready for that yet. I'm ready, and I need to do some more convincing. In the meantime, I'd like to be able to keep tabs on the computers and try to spot problems before they occur. Some people complain about everything. Others suffer for a week until you ask what's wrong. I'd appreciate any recommendations that anyone may have. As an afterthought, we have a Synology NAS. Do you think enabling the LDAP directory server and setting up a domain would help? I'm not so sure it's going to be a great help. I would pick the best software that you want and then abide by what their optimal installation is. I think I'd have to use the NAS as a DNS server also for that. I'd have to research that or get some help. That's well beyond my understanding. We will be moving to a new office in a few months, and it would be perfect to make any major changes. Thanks again for a great show. Gotta go. Someone's Outlook isn't starting. Steve from Pittsburgh. Steve, an idea since you're moving, you may want to consider a domain controller because then you can implement group policies, you can have real security, and if you were going to do that, I've never done that from a NAS. I would do it from a real server, and I would put server 2012 standard in a little box, and now you have to have all of your systems as members of the domain. Now you got to get the accounts. Your IT work has just tripled or quadrupled. You now have you are now an admin, and your life will change significantly if you have Active Directory and a real domain controller. So what I would like you to do is do that only if the software you want really requires it. Please send me in your recommendations for managing a group of 18 computers. You know, what software do you recommend and what agent can we put in there that's the least, doesn't suck up the CPU and performance and can get him back all the metrics that he needs on the systems. This is from Don, and very simple. The registry hack to prevent the black screen of doom that I mentioned in show 530, I didn't put it in the show notes. Don, I promise I will get to that as I'm editing this show, and I will put that in the show notes, I promise.
This is from a Steven. Your opinion on front and side intake fans. I'm looking to build a new computer at some point this year, and I was thinking about going with the Corsair Carbide Series 500R case since it's big and offers plenty of cooling. However, I have been informed by a tech support site, also known as techsupportforums.com, that in their opinion, both front and side intake fans can be more of a problem than a benefit. And the fact that air coming in from the front and the side can sort of create a vortex, which keeps the air trapped inside the case, therefore making it warmer. Wow, that's very interesting, and I never thought of that, so you got to consider it. The old school is bring the cool air in the front, let it out the back. So maybe you don't want to do the side cooling. I don't know, but that's an interesting point. The computer would be located in the loft area of my apartment, where at times can get up to almost 80 degrees in the summer and almost 76 to 77 degrees in the winter, and is located in a smoke environment. Uh-oh. I plan to do some gaming and eventually do video editing with this computer. I want to know what your thoughts are on this. I don't have any technical background enough to weigh in on the airflow of your system, except for the fact that I don't know how those forums are, but they said, I mean, that kind of sounds valid. If you got air coming in the side and the front, you know, just common sense, that could be a problem. I would pick a case where you got one or the other and not both. And just to be safe, I would do that. But I'll tell you, I would do everything humanly possible to have a smoke-free environment around your computer. Years and years ago, I used to be a smoker, and it's disgusting what it does to the computer. I know. I've had to clean early XPs and early XT systems. I mean, going way back, you know, 8088 processor where I smoked and it went right into the system. And I remember having to do some work on them and clean them. And it was the nicotine and what it does to the components is just so, so horrible. It's horrible. Do everything you can to eliminate smoke getting into your computer. Not only what it's going to do to your health, and I don't want to get on my soapbox about smoking, but you know it's bad for you. So I would try to keep the environment smoke-free as best you can, because that's really going to do harm on your computer. Maybe that'll get you to stop, or whoever's in that room that's going to stop. Besides all the bad things it'll do to your lungs and to your body, think of what it's going to do to the computer that you spent all that money on. Maybe that'll help. Final email from the night is from our moderator, Dan, and he has a link here from a trusted site, technibble.com, that I love. And this is a script. Mike, I found a great script that automates most computer cleaning operations with pre-bundled software. And I ran this already on one of my own laptops, and the thing is awesome. You may want to mention this on the show tonight. The script is called Tron. And I have included the link from TechNibble to give to the folks listening tonight. Thank you for this. I will download and run this on my test unit behind me and see what it does, see how it helps. Give Tron a you know, kick the tires and check it out. If it's on TechNibble, then it's worth mentioning and doing, because that's a tremendous site. And why I mentioned TechNibble, if you're in the computer business, repair business, consulting, or know anyone that's in the business, you need the computer business computer kit version 3 from Bryce at TechNibble. That's all you need. You know, that's all you need from a word. You don't need any more convincing. You just do it. It's inexpensive, and it's the best purchase you can ever make to help you and your business. If you're buying anything from Amazon, if you buy from Amazon, know anybody buying from Amazon, please
use my link. That's amazon.micnation.net. Your price remains the same, but it kicks back a little percentage that helps support the Mike Tech Show, and I really appreciate it. Couple things for tonight. I want to thank everybody who was listening live tonight for your incredible patience. While I have been battling different problems with a client where my son is on site, I am battling another client that I've been texting back and forth, audio problems with the show. I started the show a couple times. I've had to take a break in the middle of the show. You don't hear all of this and see all of this when you listen to the finished product for the podcast. But I want to thank everybody for your incredible patience who was here live tonight. Thank you. Thank you for your continued support and downloading and staying subscribed. I will see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.